Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves into a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they go into the villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups, hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up into heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Lord Jesus, as Daniel comes to expound this word to us, we pray you'll give him peace of mind. Fill him with your Holy Spirit so the words we hear are from you. And we pray that you'll give us ears to listen, to understand and to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. I'm not going to ask you again, how are you? I know you answered, you are blessed. I taught you a few years back, and you answer always perfectly. But do you feel blessed? It's one thing to answer. It can become a stereotype. Is it possible to be blessed and not to feel blessed? If we are honest with ourselves, yes. More than that, I really don't know all of your circumstances, all of your challenges, but I know many of us are going through difficult times. So, for those of you who may face right now some tasks, some situations that seems impossible to accomplish with your resources, with your strength, think for a moment about your own life. Before we dig in this text and the sermon that I'm going to preach, I would invite you to honestly search your heart. How satisfied are you with the situation you are in right now? It may be on a personal level. It may be on a family level, those of you who have families. It may be related to your ministry. Yes, I can say this to the members of the church. We should be part of smaller ministries connected to the wider ministry of our church and sometimes even outside. Is there right now a crisis that you face, is there right now something that makes you unhappy, not fully satisfied on how things are developing? Maybe even in your prayer life, personal or as a group, you've kept praying for things to change. You are waiting for God's answers and interventions, and nothing had happened till now. What is your attitude in faith of such limitations, of such situations? What is your reaction? Do you find yourself discontent, critical, or even bitter? Are you tempted to give up because you see no way forward? Do you question God's purpose and plan because the path seems too difficult or different than you expected, and the resources you have are too scarce? In this particular passage of Scripture, Mark 6, 30 to 44, we find the disciples in a very similar situation. After they return from a mission, exhausted and in need of rest, they are faced with the overwhelming task of feeding a crowd of over 5,000 men, says the text. And although we refer to this story as the feeding of the 5,000, I think most of us should be aware by now that in reality the crowd was far larger. As we read at the end in verse 44, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men, because that was a Jewish practice to count men. But Matthew, when he gives his account, he says, except or besides women and children. Most Bible scholars agree that we are speaking here of a crowd of at least 20,000. Some believe even more, 25, depending, you know, how many full families were there. A typical Jewish family would have about 5-6 children. So if you count men, his wife, and 5, 6, 7, who knows, children, even over 30. Now, we do assume that perhaps there were some singles there too. So let's think about 20,000. A huge, huge, huge crowd. And I would like to just prepare actually a series of sermons that follow this one to offer some context before we go deeper in the text. This is one of the most pivotal texts we have in Mark, a lesson that Jesus carefully prepared for his disciples. This is not just a simple miracle as Jesus did other. I mean, nothing is simple miracle. It's not just a miracle. He planned this one for a very specific purpose, and it was directed towards his disciples. He taught his disciples a lesson that they should learn and rely on for their entire life. This is so important for us today to get it right. The problem is, his disciples fail to understand the lesson. And I'm afraid so many times we fail to understand it too. And the reason why they fail to understand it is one that Jesus clearly make it sure that Mark in his gospel will record it. And we will find this for the next two chapters over and over again pointed to. They couldn't get it. And as a good professor, after he taught a lesson, after a lesson follows an exam. And they failed the exam because they didn't get the lesson. So he has to do some other miracles to teach some the same lesson in different ways until they get it. We may find ourselves in exactly the same situation. So just to have this bigger picture clear in mind, I want to skip over, although I'm going to preach next Sunday, God's willing, from verses 45 to 52, Jesus walks on water. But I want you to see something, and please, if you have a Bible, open it. If you have a pen or a marker, make a note there. If not, use your phone. Text yourself. By the way, you can do that today. That's one way of taking notes for me. I'm texting myself pretty often when I have fresh new ideas, and just make sure I don't forget them. Okay? And I want to read one verse here. I need my glasses. So after Jesus walks on water, and we will learn about this next Sunday, verse 51 and 52. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Verse 52. For they did not understand about what? The loaves, basically the miracle that Jesus just did prior to this experience, the lesson that he taught them, and why they did not understand about that, because their hearts were hardened. So we are going to examine today a passage of Scripture that is of vital importance, where we find some crucial lessons for our lives. But we may still not get it if we have hardened hearts. So I pray that through Holy Spirit, God Himself will minister to our hearts today to soften them. I remember how one of my mentors long time ago told me and told the class over and over again, preparing us as preachers, saying, you are going to preach, hopefully, your entire life to congregations of people with hardened hearts. It's a reality. It's tough. Ouch. So, in the context, yes, it's a lesson of vital importance. We need to get it and grasp it today. This is the only miracle and the first time when Jesus decided to involve his disciples. So far, disciples were spectators. They were just watching Jesus doing things, performing things, but now he involves them. And again, unique thing about this passage, it's the only miracle except Jesus' resurrection, which is a miracle, the greatest miracle, recorded in all four Gospels. So except Jesus' resurrection is the only miracle recorded in the all four Gospels. You can imagine how much weight is here. That's why I try to draw your attention and make sure you prepare your heart and be openly receiving it. I'm going to preach it simply. Nothing sophisticated. Just in order to get this point. The whole miracle has a point. You'll find out soon which one is it. Beginning with the first few verses that Maureen read, we find that Jesus is exhausted together with his disciples. He needed some rest. He withdrew with his disciples in a desolate place. He needed to physically rest, but also to rest in the Father's arms, as often Jesus used to go and pray privately. And he did pray before this miracle happened. He did pray because he knew what he is about to teach his disciples, and he knew that they have hardened hearts. Jesus also faces grief. We've learned last Sunday that his cousin, John the Baptist, was put to death, decapitated. Jesus grieved. He needed this time. However, we read that although they enjoy a little bit of time of privacy, that didn't take too long because the crowd, you know, people heard where he's going, they found out, and they followed him massively. So we read in verse 34 that although he was tired, although he needed this time to relax, when he saw the crowds, when he saw their needs, he was moved with compassion. That's another thing, we don't have enough time to expand it. But everything that Jesus did, he did it out of compassion, right motive. That made me think, even this week while I was preparing this sermon, what do I do what I do? What is my motivation? He was moved by compassion. So he started preaching. Long sermon. Although he was tired, his disciples were tired. It passed midday, noon. And at some point, his disciples found themselves in a very difficult situation. They were already tired and exhausted, but now they are also hungry. You know, very late in the day. So I just imagine them looking at one another. Jesus keeps going and going. I mean, we need to tell him that it's time to wrap it up. It's time to, Jesus, you know, how can we say it? Jesus is moved with compassion for people. He loves people. We find the solution. So some of them, they took courage and they went to Jesus. Jesus, it's time to wrap it up. These people are hungry. He didn't mention they are hungry too. And they perhaps booked, you know, Toby Carberry to go for 1 o'clock and it's well past one. Jesus, these people are hungry. We are okay. I mean, we can keep going. I mean, we're fine. For us, it's all right. But have mercy for these people. When Jesus looks at them, he says something very, very unexpected. He says, you give them something to eat. You notice the problem. You notice the need. You give them something to eat. We have to wrap it up soon. Unfortunately, I'm not Jesus to keep going. But often, please note, when you notice a need, even in this church, and many of you do notice it, if you are the person who notices it, if God chose to speak to you to notice that need, expect that he may want to involve you, not others. It's easy to just say, you know, there is this need, now you fix it. You pastor, you leaders, you know. Jesus says, no, You notice it? That's true. Yes. You feed them. And they start to panic. Oh, how can we do it? In NIV, that Maureen read, says, well, we need an 8 months wage. Imagine, you know, think of your income for 8 months. Say, now, use it. But they didn't have it. So that's way beyond ourselves, way beyond our resources, beyond our abilities. It's impossible. Exactly like those moments you just, or situation you just identify in your lives when I ask you to do that in the introduction. They answer, no. Lord, we can't. We are inadequate. It is impossible for us to do it. But we've noticed the need. And then Jesus, on purpose, we read here that he said that knowing what he wants to do, what he intended to do. He had a plan all along. He did it on purpose. We read, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii, this is ESV, worth of bread and give it to them? And he said to them, okay, if you cannot do it, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And they went and they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. We know from the Synoptic Gospels that they found out a boy, a child that had with him 5 loaves of bread. And 2 fish. I mean, in a crowd of over 20,000 people, at least one responsible mom thought, let's give my child a packed lunch. Now, most of us, we may think he came with 5 huge loaves of bread. Again, Bible scholars are in agreement that they were perhaps tiny little pieces of bread. How much bread would you give a child for his lunch? So I have here with me 5 small loaves. I'm pretty sure they were smaller. And most scholars believe they were smaller. And when you think of 2 fish, don't imagine those fish. I choose not to. I thought they are too smelly. John MacArthur actually says, perhaps they were small pickled fish that you could place in a sandwich, in a small piece. 2 small pickled fish, enough for a child. Out of the whole 20,000 people, one child had little, and they brought it to Jesus. Again, we don't have all the details, but our imagination can go wild. Perhaps Philip, who knows, John, he come to Jesus, this is all we have. I mean, this is a child's packed lunch. It wasn't me. I didn't take it. Peter took it. I mean, you think I took it? Poor child, you know. Peter took it, but, you know, we brought it to you because you said, you know, what do we have? And this is all that we have. I mean, look at it. It's so insignificant comparing with this massive need. And this is, again, planned by Jesus. He has a plan and a point to make. Look in your own life. What do you have right now in your hands when you face these critical situations in your life? Whether it's related to your health, your finances, your family, your job, your ministry. As a care group leader, as a Sunday school teacher, as a prayer team, as a pastor, as elders, what do you have? And when we look at what we have, we cannot say we have great things. No, I can't. Lord, that's all that I have. It's so little. Your call is so great. The demands are beyond me. But when I look at what I have, it's so scarce. What can I do with it? I'll teach you. Bring it to me. Release it, first thing. Even what you have, small or big, significant or insignificant in your eyes, release it. Get your hand out of that too. You want to be too much in control? You think by the way you do things, your strategy, your way of, it's enough. No, it's not. Release even that small thing. Release it to me. Give it here. Even out of a child's hands, Lord? It was Peter. Yes. Give it to me. And when he receives it, we read that Jesus did something amazing. In verse 39, we don't have time to expand that. He commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. In other translations, he thanked God. Remember what I asked you at the communion time? To think about how thankful you are for everything. Jesus said, you know, you're little, release it. I'm going to bless it. In my hands, I'll bless it. I'm going to thank God. I'm not sure how you imagine he prayed, how long he prayed. But most scholars believe he prayed the normal Jewish blessing for every meal. That sounds like this. Baruch atai Adonai, Eloheinu melech olam, hamotzi lehem, which is bread, min haaretz. I think you need translation for that. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from heaven. That was the blessing. He thanked. Now the bread was blessed. How many do you think were at that moment? Still five. I ask you at the very beginning of my message, is it possible to be blessed and not to feel it? And not to experience the abundance? Yes, not yet. We are blessed, but sometimes we don't see the results we expect. Because the next stage is brokenness. He blessed it. And what he blesses sometimes needs to be broken. We don't like that. I mean, Lord, I mean, it was already so insignificant and small, and now you break even that? I made a note here. Everything significant is found on the other side of surrender. And then everything powerful comes from brokenness. He broke it. And after he broke it, again, nothing happened. A lot of people imagine that this multiplication of bread happened after Jesus prayed and broke it, and suddenly a mountain of bread and fish just appear in front and everyone could come and feast. No. And he said, now you disciples, come here. Andy and a few of you, would you like to come, please? Trevor, David. He said, no. Now you take it and feed those 100. You take it and feed those 50, because he divided them in groups of 50 and 100. He blessed it. He broke it. David, please, feed another 100. And my friend. And you, a teen. And he did that with everyone. Please do it. And when you break it and try to share it with others, Just think of all your situations right now, all your limitations, because that's all about. You share it with others. And the miracle happened. It's not going to happen now. But the miracle actually happened when they start to share it again. Released, blessed, broken, share it, share it. And the whole miracle happened when Peter, shaking perhaps his hands, said, you know, what, how am I going to feed them? Broke it, and the half of loaf grew back in his hands. And when someone else again broke it and shared it, it grew back, and it grew back, and it grew back. And by giving and sharing, not just that, they fed 20,000 plus people. We will soon learn that they collected 12 baskets full of crumbs, of small pieces. Sorry? Yes, you can eat it. You can eat it. Why not? It's not the second communion. I want to picture that. If you want more bread, please, you are happy to do it. Five, you know, it's enough. As a symbol, you can eat it, please. And those of you who are hungry at the end, you can come and take the rest. I want, once again, time, it's almost past, and I'm not Jesus. Maybe 5 minutes. Jesus taught them that they need to be thankful with what they have. Often, our issues and crises and lacks is not solved because we are not thankful. Friends, with a heavy heart, I have to say, I've noticed that especially since the pandemic, there is so much sense of dissatisfaction among Christians. Everywhere, in every church I go, splits, accusations, negativity that should not be in Christ's church. Look at this specific remark at the end of verse 42. And they all ate and were satisfied. They were satisfied. It began with a need. It began with a crisis. It began with a lack. What am I going to do? But when they released what they had in Jesus' hand, he blessed it and broke it. But listen, the miracle didn't happen in the master's hand. It happened in your hands. The miracle, the bread didn't multiply in the master's hand. It happened in their hand. When you learn how to be thankful with what you have, with your situation, Lord, in this situation, I expected this much growth. It didn't happen. It's stagnant. It's even going back. It's retracing. It's not what I expected. Bring it back to Jesus. Be thankful with him. Share with him. Now, these 5 loaves and 2 fish in their hand, in the child's hand, would forever be just 5 loaves. Not forever, because the child would have eaten it. But, you know, it would remain the same or disappear. But when you add Jesus in your circumstance, in the equation, your lack plus Jesus equal multiplication. But the multiplication does not happen in his hands, because he wants to involve you in sharing, in being faithful with what he called you to do. This is The lesson, the main point that Jesus had to teach them then and to teach us now. And these specific words, it's a quotation, they are quoted actually from the best mentor I ever had, and I have a huge respect for him, and he came and visited us several times here, Bill Lawrence. He said, and I heard it numerous times, you pastors, you leaders, you Christians, wherever you are and whatever you are called to do, take note. You must do what you cannot do with what you do not have for the rest of your lives. You must do what you alone cannot do with what you do not have for the rest of your lives. But there is a second dimension to this. And I can say it, I will do what I cannot do with what I do not have through Christ for the rest of my life. That's the lesson. The disciples did not get it because they had hardened hearts. Therefore, Jesus had to plan another miracle. And we will talk about that next week. They still did not get it. There are others until they finally get it. The miracles, or the miracle of the loaves, teaches us that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is how we read in Ephesians chapter 3:20. When you trust in His power, we witness His provision and glory in your lives and ministries. And Paul says in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches, glory in Christ Jesus. Do you believe this? When you follow these very simple steps, release, be thankful, bless, experience brokenness, accept it, share it, you will see how things may change in a way that you would never expect it in all dimensions of your life. And these disciples witness not just how the crowds were satisfied, all of them were satisfied, but they collected 12 baskets full of crumbs. Abundance. 12. How many disciples? 12. Why? Because there are 12 tribes of Israel. That was something. Not full of loaves, but of crumpets, a reminder for them that the brokenness and the sharing in small pieces is crucially important. May we learn this and not harden our hearts. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Well, I'm going to be changing how we say grace at home now. Amen. Our last song is actually a new song. So you can hang on a bit, and then you can sing along the next time round. It's called Praise Adonai. Amen. Can we have sand on the bass, please? Thank you.
Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints sing praise.
Thank you so much for everything you've given us. We thank you, Father, for your word today, for the word that we will take and we will digest, and we will not just listen, but we will practice what we've heard today, Father, and we will take on board everything that's been given to us. We'll be thankful and we'll be grateful with everything that you've given to us and everything you haven't given to us, and we will be grateful and we will act upon whatever you've asked us to do, Father. We will walk in faith, Lord, and we will be thankful, Lord Jesus, and we will tell the wondrous story, and we will forever remember what was done for us at Calvary, Lord Jesus. Help us to support each other and love one another and not complain all the time and be negative, but be grateful, thankful, and joyful, and show that we are your children because of how we love each other, as your word says. Father, as we leave today, Father, we just want to say thanks again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Say the grace.
May the grace,
peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship.